Case 42 from The Gateless Gate. Manjushri and the young woman in Samadhi. Once Manjushri went to a place where many Buddhas had assembled with the world honored one. When he arrived, all the Buddhas had returned to their original dwelling place. Only a young woman remained, seated in Samadhi near the Buddha's seat. Manjushri addressed the Buddha and asked, "How can the young woman get near the Buddha's seat when I cannot?" The Buddha replied to Manjushri, "Awaken this young woman from her Samadhi and ask her yourself." Manjushri walked around the young woman three times, snapped his fingers once, took her to the Brahma heaven, and exerted all of his supernatural powers, but he could not bring her out. The world-honored one said, "Even 100,000 Manjushris cannot awaken her. Down below, past 1,200 million lands, as innumerable as the sands of the Ganges, lives the Bodhisattva of delusive wisdom. He will be able to bring her out of her samadhi." Instantly, the Bodhisattva of delusive wisdom emerged from the earth and made bows before the world-honored one, who gave his imperial order. Delusive wisdom stepped before the young woman, snapped his fingers once, and at this, she came out of samadhi. The verse: one can bring her out, the other cannot. Both of them are free. A god mask, a devil mask. The failure is an elegant performance. So, for those of you who aren't too familiar with koans, welcome to the realm of absurdity. Koans are these wonderful teaching stories that have been passed down for, over 1,000 years in many cases. They include a lot of pointers and insight and wisdom. But the stories are sometimes a little bit challenging to penetrate, to really comprehend. First of all, there's some mythology involved. So if you don't know who Manjushri is, for example, it can be kind of confusing. So I'll explain some of those things. But additionally, they aren't teaching in the way that many of us are used to hearing teaching. Many of us are used to just being told sort of how things are and how they could be, should be. How should I do this? How should I do that? And of course, Buddhist practice is quite different from that. There's nobody here who's going to tell you how to be a Buddha, because we already are a Buddha. So we're sitting here realizing our nature, just as it is. That's the practice. We are paying close attention and being curious about what arises. It's so simple, really. So why all these teaching stories? Well, they're helpful because there are so many places where we can get caught in like little ruts in the road. You know, I think of it this way, like there are synaptic connections that fire over and over, and they create these deep grooves in the brain. And we continue down those pathways, often rather mindlessly, just believing everything we think. And so these stories are helpful in that they wake us up. So in this particular case, the Buddha is sitting with all the Buddhas, and there's some wonderful sort of pointing toward non-duality here. They all are returned to their Buddha realms. But there is one person who remains, a young woman practicing in samadhi. And it's so funny. This case is actually quite funny. Manjushri is the bodhisattva of wisdom. And essentially what this means is that he is the deepest realization of emptiness. We might describe emptiness as non-differentiation, non-dual wisdom. Some might describe it as a kind of samadhi. Manjushri's practice might be a samadhi practice. When asked to express wisdom in a different koan, Manjushri is silent. And the silence is the teaching. No words. Something quite beyond language. So it's funny when Manjushri says, "Hey Buddha, how come she gets to sit near you and I don't?" There he is, caught up in his own thinking mind. So Buddha says, well, why don't you wake her up and ask? And he can't. So what's interesting here is that Manjushri really is this archetype of deep, deep wisdom, of insight into the true nature of things. But this insight into the true nature of reality is impotent to awaken. This person who is in samadhi, perhaps they are too much alike, like adding water to water. Nothing happens. This is an important point in the koan. It's something significant here. The only one who can awaken this practitioner is the bodhisattva of delusive wisdom. One of my favorite phrases in the Dharma. So a bodhisattva is one who vows to save all beings. And it's pretty interesting that Manjushri is unable to awaken this practitioner. They need this bodhisattva who's vowed to save all beings, who practices deep down in the hell realms, not up in the Buddha heavens, but where people are suffering. That's where the bodhisattva of delusive wisdom practices, with the suffering world, with this vow to save all beings. Now, if I'm practicing strictly samadhi, a practice of non-differentiation, a practice of pure emptiness, I can't see the suffering of others in the same way. I can't recognize it. I can't name causes. I can't even participate in the world. I don't know what food to cook. I don't know what to eat. I don't know which is a fork or which is a spoon. It's non-differentiation. There are no concepts. Samadhi is a practice that is quite intoxicating in a way. Many of us have slipped into it, probably unawares, in the sense that we're no longer labeling our practice, so we're not going like, "Hey, this is a great samadhi." There's no language. It's a very deep kind of concentration, where often, for example, when we have an object of concentration like the breath, maybe sensation, sometimes with sounds, there's a real falling away of the sense of self and other. And in many ways, it's very, very beautiful. Everything shining with its own light. But we can get addicted to this kind of a practice. We can imagine that this practice is what it's all about. This is, now I really get it. I'm totally free. I want some more of that. And there is wisdom in samadhi. We might say it's Manjushri's practice. Cuts off all delusions. So why do we need the bodhisattva of delusive wisdom? Well, again, because if we just sit on the cushion and turn into a skeleton, what use are we in this world? What use would we be to ourselves? What use would we be to others? So we have the great story of the 10 ox herding pictures, don't we? And for those of you who don't know, these are images that describe, as if it were linear, which by the way, it's not, the practice of Buddhism, of awakening. And the seventh image is a circle. Nothing there at all. Samadhi, awakening. But not the tenth. The tenth image is of a big jovial Buddha out in the street with children, giving them gifts. Think of Buddha's life. Imagine if Buddha, having awakened, seen the morning star, having awakened, had just remained under the Bodhi tree and become a skeleton. We wouldn't have inherited this tradition. This tradition wouldn't exist. Buddha got up from under the Bodhi tree and went to find people in the world who he knew were suffering. That's the bodhisattva of delusive wisdom, recognizing self and other. When we begin practice, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. Along the way, mountains are no longer mountains and rivers are no longer rivers. When we're thoroughly awake, mountains are mountains, rivers are rivers. Hunger is hunger. Injustice is injustice. The destruction of the environment causes suffering. And we see this with our discriminating minds. If our practice is simply to silence our minds, we are missing the point. This is bigger. It's not just about feeling good for half an hour. It's about waking up. About waking up and healing the world. About engaging. And we sit in practice to renew ourselves, to renew our deep sense of connectedness, interbeing, to awaken. But in the deepest sense, samadhi is ever present. All things are empty. Our discriminating minds, our thoughts themselves, are empty. So what we're doing is we're integrating that awareness of emptiness, the big circle, the idea that nothing has any sort of fixed essence. We see that again and again in our practice. We see that in our own suffering. Our suffering arises and we don't turn away. We meet it exactly as it is. And we let it be. Maybe we cry. And as our tears roll down our cheeks, we watch our suffering shapeshift and change. And eventually dissipate like clouds in the sky, just burned away by time. We recognize the emptiness even of our own suffering. Something perhaps at some point we'd been frightened of, we now see as shape-shifting and immaterial, and yet real. Everything is this way. In this sense, our practice of samadhi, if we imagine that we need to get rid of thoughts to experience deep, penetrating emptiness, we're lost. We're just believing another thought. So our practice is to let thoughts come. Let pain come. Let joy come. Whatever is present, just let it be. Let it unfold very naturally. Without interfering. And just pay attention. And bit by bit, we realize the emptiness of all forms, all formations. Emptiness is exactly form. Form is exactly emptiness. There is no gap between these two. There is no reason we need to remain in a particular mental state. Everything we encounter is the way. We don't need our freedom to be restricted, to remain in samadhi all the time, stuck on the cushion, unmoving, dead. This practice is alive. And we're encountering the aliveness. That is the practice. And encountering aliveness, we do see the suffering in the world, and we are called through this natural arising of compassion, which is nothing more than a deep realization of our interconnectedness, of our interbeing. When the left hand hurts, the right hand reaches over and pets it and eases the pain. We are interconnected in that way. We are one body. If we are stuck in samadhi, stuck in the pursuit of emptiness, we cut off our capacity. To alleviate the suffering in the world. So these koans, these beautiful stories, so important in our practice. As you can imagine, for those of us who have tasted this quite wonderful practice of samadhi, by the way, not a problem when it comes. Enjoy it. quite lovely and liberating. But don't get stuck on it. Don't imagine that our practice is to get rid of parts of yourself. It's to see the true nature of every part of yourself, so that we can be of service in this world. Thank you.